With UPS, future you graduates from Metro College with zero debt. How? As a package handler, you'll have a great job while you attend Metro College, and 100% of your tuition will be covered. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at UPS.
We are ESPN Louisville, your home for the college football playoff, NFL, the Final Four, and best sports talk. Download the ESPN Louisville app today. Delivered by UPS Jobs Kentucky.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.
Time now for Fast Break Friday on The V Show, presented by Universal Windows Direct, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bob Valvano and Mike Pratt.
Are you ready for some football? A Monday night party! This is Hank and I'm ready. Let's get this picture started. Let's paint this town and do it up right. All my rowdy friends are here on Monday night.
It is Fast Break Friday. This is a very bad connection. Let's see if we can fix that. There we go. Thanks for being with us. He's Mike Pratt. I'm Bob Valvano. And we are excited. So the roof will be open. Well, I don't know. It depends on where we play Monday. Celebrity bocce tournament coming up at the castle.
It'll be a beautiful day. The roof will be open.
Except if it rains, then we'll go inside the greenhouse and we'll play indoors. Rain or shine, we're playing, buddy.
All right.
We have it set up with four indoor courts, six outdoor. And if it rains, we'll just cut the indoor courts in half. We'll play on a little smaller surface. So rain or shine, we're playing. It's open to the public. And Mike, to his everlasting credit, has done yeoman's work putting some celebrities together for us. We've got Jacob Tammy's coming, and Dan Issel's coming, and Louis Dampier. I defy you to find another bocce tournament in the country that's got a better field than ours. That's quite a cast.
We've got some wonderful friends, Bob.
And, you know what? We really do.
That have donated their time. Yeah. Doug Flynn, Dave Baker.
Paul Rogers and Tom Leach are coming.
There you go.
Chris Redman's going to be there. Perrin Johnson, our friend, will be there. And Jeff Picoro's going to be there, I think, right?
Jeff's out west with the team. He couldn't make it.
All right. Well, then I'll have to cross him off the list, but that's fine. We're still going to have a lot of other folks. And Keith Farmer, who was in this market for a long time, now is in Lexington, has a lot of his broadcast friends from over there coming as well. So it's going to be a fun day. It's all to help raise money in the fight against cancer. And if you've never been to the castle, here's your chance to see it up close and personal. But it's a spectacular place.
Never been. And most of the guys that I talk to,
incredible,
okay,
right?
They go like, I've never been there.
Passed it. But Paul said to me, I talked to Paul Rogers the other day when I invited him, and he said, I went to school at UK, and I must have gone past the castle, I don't know, maybe 500 times and never set foot in it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The great thing is Nick had been the same way. I mean, he used to play hockey, and they used to play in Lexington a lot, and he had never gone in it either. And when we got inside, he was like, whoa. It was like, it's not going to disappoint. It's a bona fide castle. It's really impressive.
The only person I have talked to at length about it is Tom Cron's son, Jason, the late Tom Cron. And Jason and his wife had spent a night up there after.
Did
a ball
they like
game.
It?
Oh God!
Right?
Man, he thought it was beautiful.
I think it's
spectacular. Gorgeous.
You got a significant other. I'll say this, and you can get a night there in our auction. We're auctioning off a night in the castle on our auction, KFOV.org. The auction will be up over the weekend. So keep an eye on it. And we've stayed there. We spent the night there, and it is. It's like if your significant other will feel like a princess. You want to throw her hair out the window like Rapunzel.
They have how many rooms?
There's only 13. I think 13. And a couple of them are up in the tower, and then some are inside in the body of the castle proper. They're big, beautiful rooms, too. It's not like, oh, you get in the castle. I hate to say, it's not like Vegas where, it looks like, and then you get inside, it's just a hotel room. You go inside, and there's a little room, and how castle rooms are.
$6 motel.
No, it's not a, let's get the coffee maker working. It's a really, really, and the restaurant is very, very good. It's farm to table. And we're so grateful for the people there to give us this chance. We want to really build a nice relationship there. So hopefully you'll come out and see. You're welcome to come and see us. It's open to the public, free admission. Come and see some of the great celebs. Take a picture or two. And if you're so inclined, make a donation. We'd love to have that also, as we're going to give some money to the Markey Center in Lexington and the James Graham Brown Cancer Center here. And
Cincinnati Children's.
So Cincinnati Children's Hospital, which is doing some great research on a pediatric cancer that is too sad to even talk about, but they're making some great progress. Dickie V's pediatric initiative down in Florida, where he's funding. I mean, that is a tireless passion for him. And you can see why. I mean, the poor kids don't have anybody to lobby for them. They don't have any political juice. And so they, unfortunately, have gotten the short end of the stick when it comes to funding for a long time. And Dickie V's trying to almost single-handedly change that. But he's doing a great job. And
he's
then,
worked hard at it.
He has. And then we're giving some money to the V Foundation, helping them fund some of the great scientists that they've put together. So I thank Mike. I want to thank him publicly. I've thanked him privately like 20 times, and I'll probably do it 20 more. He's a cancer survivor, and he's just a great person. And this has been a so much fun partnership. And, you know, you said it best. You do events for two reasons. They're fundraisers, and they're also friendraisers. And we have the kinds of people for these quote-unquote celebrities that if you are playing in this event, you'll walk away and say, that's an organization I want to be part of because those are good guys. I go down the list, and every one of them, I mean, Doug Flynn and Louis Dampier and Dan Issel and Redman and you and Paul Rogers and Tom Leach and on and on and on. These are guys that every time I see them, you just say, hey, you know, that's cool. You want to be around those kinds of people. And, you know, this is an event that's colorblind. It's got nothing to do with red or blue. It's got to do with the one color, unfortunately, the black of the disease of cancer, and we're trying to eradicate that. So it's going to be fun.
And, Bob, you've had them here in Louisville. I've played in numerous ones.
Yes, and we're grateful
and,
for that.
It's neat to bring it up there to Lexington in this venue. I think it's
well, it is Lexington, but it's also kind of on the way. I mean, so it's not like the Louisville people are driving to the end of the earth.
Oh, no, that's not what cool I meant. I just meant it's sometimes a different venue after all the years here. Just a different venue presents things to people that aren't aware.
Well, especially this venue. It's like, you know, how often do you get to say, yep, going to play bocce in a castle?
That sounds like a history book. You know, that sounds like a history book.
It's going to be great fun. And speaking of new experiences, since I'm one of those guys that I rarely do this. I whenever the new Apple products come out and you read about the people who are online around the corner and everything, I never did that except for one of the new iPads. I did it once. I just wanted to see what it was like. And I got it the day it came out. Ooh, it was very exciting. But yesterday, it was literally the opening day for the sports book in Indiana, and I went to the one, the big one everybody knows about, the big one at the Horseshoe. But this is in Clarksville, which was a former OTB. And Mike, I'm telling you, I've just got to say, it's got nothing to do with politics, so don't read into it. Whoever's responsible for it, whether they're red or blue or Republican or Democrat or left-handed or right-handed or whatever, it's ridiculous not to have that in this state. It is so much fun. They've done a terrific job. They train their staff very well. There's nothing worse than you get there for the first day and you go up to the window and say, you know, I want number. You bet all the bets are numbered, all of them. So if you go to the window, you just say, I want 912, you know, and then she reads it back to you. Like my first bet, not surprisingly to many listeners, was just an emotional one for fun. I bet $5 for the Mets to win the World Series at 60-1.
That is emotional.
The Yankees, by the way, your Yankee fan, are 5-1.
Oh, really? Yeah. Now, I might have to slide though over there. They're not. The Dodgers are the favorites. Huh?
Yeah, Dodgers. And Astros, believe it or not, are still very strong play. Yeah, I was a little surprised at that. So you can go do that. And I went up and said 912. And she looks up. She says Mets at plus 60 or 600. You know, it's always relative to 100. Plus 600. So I said, yeah. And she says, okay, how much? And you tell the amount. And then she prints it. She said, and nobody's trying to hustle you or, hey, move it along. She said, make sure that's right. And I looked at the ticket. I said, that's exactly right. She said, thank you. I said, boy, this is fun. She said, it really is. We're having so much fun here. The people are just so pleasant and happy. And it's just, it really is. And somebody's going to say, well, how about, you know, the problem gamblers? You know what? Anything to excess is bad. Sugar to excess is bad. Alcohol to excess is bad. You know, anything is bread to excess is bad. So yes, if you bet your mortgage money, you got a problem. But it's if when you don't, it was tremendous fun. And they have Mike. It's anybody who's been there. There used to be a smoking section and then a non-smoking section. And Andy Sweeney said that I didn't notice it because I wouldn't go there. The smoking section, but he said they did away with that. So that back room is, I think, primarily just for the horse racing. The front room still has about half of the horse racing, and then a quarter or a third of the room is the sports book. And they got those big, nice recline, you know, those not recliners, but it's like that's the kind of seat with the beverage holder. And there's like four or five rows of those, and then all the TV screens. And then behind the counter are all the bets. And Louisville, for example, is plus 2000 to win the national championship in football. Kentucky's plus 500. I'll tell you this. If you could find – the only way you can make any money of significance in football is, I think, either to just absolutely get ridiculously lucky, because how you could predict anybody who's outside that top group. And if you bet Alabama or Clemson, you're not making a whole lot of money.
No.
Your best bet is, if you want to make some money, is Georgia, if you think Georgia can do it. I think they're 8-1.
Oh, that's fair. That's a fair bet.
And they got a puncher's chance.
Yes, they do.
So that's the only other. Oklahoma's about the same thing, 8 or 10-1. But, boy, you're going on a limb in the Big 12 who hasn't.
Yeah, but they look pretty impressive.
Well, and you know, Jalen Hurts is a great story. So
he knows what it's like to play.
I thought about doing that, because if he gets in that game, you're right. He's not going to just wig out.
No, he's been there. He's been there. Yeah,
you know, that might be fun. But it's just so much fun. You could bet. Last night I played a two-team baseball parlay too, just again, because I wanted to see what it was like. If I said to the woman, I wanted to see how they reacted. You know, I said I want a two-team parlay, and deliberately I bet one game the money line and one game with the runs, because I think I took Toronto getting a run and a half, and I took the Braves on the money line. By the way, both of which lost. I had a reverse parlay. I missed them both. But she knew exactly what I was talking about. I was like, I want 880, you know, 882 on the money line, a parlay with 890 with the runs, and I want Toronto on the runs. And she was like, okay, how much is that? And check your ticket. And I said, you got it exactly right. And it was just so much fun. And I was in the afternoon, so I couldn't have stayed. But I wonder what it's going to be at night when all the games are on. That's when the sports book is fun.
I bet you that Saturday would be, come Saturday, tomorrow, all day. I mean, people are in there.
And the NFL?
Yeah, Sunday too. Yeah. In response to what you said, the problem gamblers, the individuals that have a problem, they're going to have a problem with their local bookie, or they're going to have a problem with a place across the river or a place in Vegas. I mean,
exactly.
You think that this is going to keep people from having – they're going to find a way to do it. If they have a problem,
exactly,
they're going to find a way to do it.
They'll bet on which parking space that red car is going to take when it pulls in the lot. I mean, it's just – it's so much fun. And on top of it, again, you take your political bent however you want to, but I've lived here now long enough, and all I hear – my wife's a teacher. Now, she actually teaches in Indiana, but – I hear about all the problems that the pension has and the teachers have and how little money they have in education. And there's literally people racing. You should go to the parking lot, Mike. Kentucky, 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 Kentucky. It's unbelievable.
I mean, the politicians ought to go over there and check out them. Just check the license plates
out. Why would you turn it down? If you don't want to play, don't play. I mean, this is – as much as I think it's absurd, the discussion about, like, Topgolf – you can't even make that case with this. It's not loud. There's no lights.
Everything's inside.
Everything's inside. Don't go in there. If for some reason you don't like it, don't go in there. But if you do, you know, it was kind of not only that particular shop, if you will, but that whole strip that it's on, a very small strip mall, had gotten a little run down. They've given it a facelift. The whole... it's in with next to it is a baseball hitting academy. There's
there's diamonds behind it. There are baseball diamonds behind
it. Yeah, baseball fields behind it.
Yes.
There used to be a Value City that I think they knocked it down. And so there's baseball diamonds there, and there's the in the strip thing, there's about as wholesome family entertainment as you can want. There's a baseball hitting academy. Next to that are those remote control cars. They have an indoor track.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Very cool. It's really big. You know, that
figure
would be
eight
fun
racing.
To do. They got for the remote controls. There's a disc golf store, and there's one other store there. I don't remember what it is. It might be vacant. I don't know, but it's fine. It's clean. It's well lit inside. You know, they've got the best chili in the area. Have you ever had the chili in that place?
No, I haven't.
I'm telling.
I've never eaten in there.
Oh,
I've been in there, but
God,
I've never
the
eaten.
Chili
in there.
Is to die for. So I
and you don't have a lot of shady characters hanging around. You know, everybody wants to project the people that
guys.
I mean, come on.
And especially, be honest with you, I mean, now that it's had a facelift and the people in there betting on the sports book, they were your neighbors. There was just somebody who thought this was going to be fun. And I if you are mad that we don't have it here now, you're going to be twice as mad when
you go.
See I'm going over there. Because you realize how simple it is. Like, I looked at it, I said, how are they going to do this? Thinking it's going to be some really, the logistics of it's going to be really hard. It was easy peasy. They used the same terminals they use for the horse betting. And behind them, where there was nothing on the wall, they have about 6 or 7 monitors that are constantly scrolling the possible bets. And like it has, who's going to win the World Series? They had the odds. Who's going to win the football national championship? And then they had particular games coming up. And you just go give them the number, and boom, and you're on your way. Meanwhile, if you are still into horse racing, and that's fine too, because I do like that, they still have all of the
tracks
for that, yeah, and the TV. Nobody's getting shortchanged there. It's a nice little bar in the front, and they got a little snack bar, which you can get yourself a sandwich or a burger, or, and as I said, that chili is terrific. It's just a nice, pleasant way to spend a day, and they're making money. In a Commonwealth here where we need so much money for the problems that whoever's fault it was that we got to this point.
It's not important.
Not important. But we all agree that we're in a problem. It reminds me of the scene in Glengarry Glen Ross when Alec Baldwin is really the SOB. Have you ever seen it?
Yeah.
And he says to them, he's just berating Jack Lemmon. He says, they want to give you their money. Will you take it? Are you man enough to take it? That's what it's like. I'm looking at this staff saying, we have all this. We have all the need for revenue. Will you take it? Are we man enough to take it? Instead, they just zip it over that bridge and forking it over in Indiana. It's hard to fathom why.
And then the perception of this state sometimes is that there's not enough talented or the education level of the workers, whatever it may be, to move companies here. And with all the issues with the teachers and this and that, you got to grow from inside to grow the outside.
You do.
And this is an inside deal. It could really help this state and this community.
The state loves sports. And it's so much, it's fun. By the way, it's a good point. A texter, you and I know, but a lot of people who don't go very much over that bridge don't know where we're talking. Get off at exit 2, which is Eastern Parkway. You make a right there.
Boulevard.
Eastern Boulevard?
Boulevard,
Boulevard. Eastern Boulevard. You get to the top of the ramp. You make a right, and you go down, I don't know, half a mile maybe, and on the right side is a little shopping center. It used to have a Ryan's cafeteria. Now it's a Dollar General. And
there's
then
a seafood restaurant kind of out
gone
the
out
front.
Of business.
Oh, it has
too.
It? Oh,
yeah,
wow.
That one went out of business. But, yeah, you can't miss it. It's on the right over there. And you just free parking, march in, and say, give me $10 on the Yankees to win the World Series. And if they do, you'll get 60 back.
I think I might do that.
It's
I like
fun.
My Yankees.
That's the other thing. It's fun. It's always more fun to watch a game when you've got a little skin in the game. I'm not suggesting you take your rent money, but I mean, I give Locke a lot of crap, but he's smart enough. He bets like $85 bets didn't make $550 back, but he has a vested interest now. So that's the fun of it. So I think it's going to be fun. Tasty. Oh my, we are getting ready for could you flip that? Turn that around. Thank you so much. This is an important game coming up for
certainly
both
is.
Teams, actually, in fairness. Florida and Kentucky, and oh my, Mick Hubert joins us to talk about it, the play-by-play voice for the Florida Gators. Mick, always great to catch up with you. How are you on this fine day?
Well, I'm great, and I apologize. I had a little meeting run a little long on getaway day here today, but I'm glad we could catch up. Yeah.
Bob, let me tell you, this is year 30 for Mick Hubert as voice of the Florida
Gators. So he started when he
was
8?
Well, he might have been 5 when he started, Congratulations.
Well, I am living a dream. It was a childhood dream of mine to be a sportscaster, so it's worked out fairly well.
Also, he got brought into the Florida Sports Hall of Fame.
Talking to all these Hall of Famers around me here. Mike is, of course, the Kentucky Hall of Fame. You're in the Florida Hall of Fame. So congratulations to you both. And Mick, you sound as good as ever, by the way.
Well, thank you. I'm still enjoying it, and like I've told you guys in the past, I enjoy Monday through Friday, in football season to get ready for Saturday's games. I like that. I like the prep work, the grunt work, all that kind of stuff. Basketball has a quicker pace because you're doing maybe 2 or 3 games a week, but I enjoy that too. And it puts me in a situation where I can have fun on game day because I've put the work in to get ready for that.
Do you guys know the last time? I know Mick does because he's going to work and do all his research. But Bob, the last time Kentucky beat Florida in Lexington was?
I have no earthly idea. Mick,
Yeah. Well, it was before my time. I believe it was 86.
You got it.
I came to Florida in the fall of the summer of 1989, so I missed that one.
And the last time Kentucky won 2 straight from Florida, which it could happen if the Cats win, was 1976-77, pre-Steve Spurrier and Mick Hubert.
Yeah, that was my first year. as my first year out of college broadcasting, my second year, 76, 77, I was in Peoria, Illinois, working.
Wow. Well, time to reminisce. Well, you know what? It's also time to look forward, because sometimes the public makes too much about the revenge factor and blah, blah, blah. But it was 31 games in a row. Florida had won. They lose at home. It's hard to believe there won't be a little tiny extra incentive for this one. How much do you think the players and coaches are having to, you know, kind of make believe they're not really dialed in for revenge in your mind, Mick?
Well, you know, obviously publicly they don't state anything like that. I can't imagine human nature privately within the walls of the locker room say, hey, these are the guys, you guys, look at yourself in the mirror. Because, you know, no other Florida team has lost to them for 30 years. And so you guys did. So let's try not have that happen again. You know, take nothing away. Kentucky had a great game, played very well, outplayed Florida, and had one of Kentucky's best teams. So I think Florida figures, hey, you know, we were up and down in the game against Miami. We had 10 sacks and did a lot of good things, but we also had 9 penalties and 20 missed tackles and a typical game, earliest game ever, August 24th, and it looked like it. And then we had a week off and got ready and played an inferior team last week in Tennessee Martin. They only had 3 penalties. They had very few missed tackles and cleaned up a lot of that stuff. But now, obviously, it ratchets up here for the next several weeks. They're just nothing but SEC games. And so I think from that standpoint, I think that's the motivation that, hey, what we did those first two games, they were good enough to beat those guys, but we can't really necessarily play like that and expect to win in the SEC week in and week out, no matter what team it is in the league. So I think they're motivated by that and the fact that they know they're going into a sold-out stadium and playing a rivalry game and, you know, those kinds of things. I think they'll be ready to go. And, as you've seen it, it comes down so much to just execution. Which team can execute the cleanest usually wins.
Mick, I watched the Miami game. Okay, I was very impressed with Florida's team speed, particularly on defense. Okay, now given that, Cats have a new quarterback, but their offensive line is back, and that's an offensive line that pretty much had their way last year down in the swamp. How does that feed? How does this defense? What do you think they'll do with a quarterback that will be making his first start against a good offensive line?
Well, that's a key matchup, Mike. I think that really is the key, because Florida feels it's got a very good defensive front. They have some depth, they have some experience. Todd Grantham moves those guys around. They don't really stay in one position, so there's a lot of twists and stunts and games, and I think they'll try and do all of that to try and get in the quarterback's head a little bit. Having said that, we played a first-year quarterback at Miami, a kid named Jaron Williams, who was pretty good. I mean, I think he was 6-for-6 to start the game. I'm thinking, gee whiz, this guy didn't – I think he was 1-for-3 last year. And now he comes in and starts against Florida. Now, he was sacked 10 times. So when he got the ball off, he usually completed a lot of them. But there were 10 times when he didn't get it off. So he was harassed and pressured. So I would imagine that will be in the forefront of Florida's mind. Certainly Kentucky's offensive line is experienced and big, 316 pounds, I think something like that on the average across the front. And I got to give them their due, give them their credit. They whipped Florida at the line of scrimmage last year, and yet – when you got a back like Benny Snell, he'll make any offensive line look pretty good.
Yeah.
You know? And he was awfully good against Florida all those games too. So, I think there'll be a different challenge for Florida in this game from that standpoint. I don't know how many sacks they're going to get. I don't know how much pressure they get. They've got like 26 tackles for loss. So that's been key. But I think a part of that, sometimes you get a little aggressive and you can become a little undisciplined. So I think the key is to maintain the edge and you know, on the outside, not let them get outside and make big gains because you got a little bit too greedy, a little selfish individually, and got out of the scheme. So if they can keep that in mind, I think they can keep those runners in front of them.
You've kind of answered my question already, but I'll ask you to elaborate on it just a little bit more, because the best way to make sure a team isn't just steamrolling you with the impressive pass rush is to keep them honest with the run. How well have they defended the run, though, so far in your mind? We all know statistically they're among the national leaders in sacks. Are they one or two, or are they, Mick? They're right up there, though, right? Aren't they in terms of sacks?
Yeah, right, leading the nation with those 15 sacks.
So there's first. But how have they defended the run, by and large?
It's been pretty good. I think 71 yards a game they've given up. Neither team has gotten 100 on them. That's third in the league, 14th in the country in stopping the run. So that'll obviously be key. I mean, sure, Kentucky would would want to get that run game going with Rose and Smoke, and then that'll open up some passing lanes too. So conversely, Florida has not gotten its running game on track, and I think that was kind of one of the strengths they thought coming into the season would be the running backs. And like I said a moment ago about Benny Snell, it's not necessarily the backs here that have been at fault. I think Florida's still kind of feel its way with the offensive line. They got four new starters. I think they're going to be okay. But right now, we're probably better establishing the pass, you know, throwing the ball to establish the run, because we have pretty good receivers, and Franks has been really good. I mean, he was 25 for 27 last week. That's a school record, almost 93% pass completion for a single game.
Wow.
And I think he's 78% for the year. I think he's third in the country at 78% in two games. So he's marked improvement in that aspect. He just has to maintain his poise and his composure, and he's done a pretty good job of that. But, you know, for guys like that that have a little bit of a wild side, you know, it's kind of always a work in progress.
Mick, last year, Kentucky defensively did a nice job against Florida, and a lot of those guys are gone. But Franks was a leading ground gainer against Kentucky. And I think they did some things that defensively that kept him from seeing the passing lanes. But he put his feet to work, and he did well. Is he more of a run or a pass this year?
I think he's more of a thrower guy, really. I think that's his strength. But he's done what Dan has asked him to do, and what Dan has asked him and Dak Prescott and any of his other quarterbacks is just be a willing runner. I mean, if they're giving you those lanes and you see you can get 7, 8 to 10 yards, go get it, go take it. And Felipe has done that. So, and he's, when he gets going now at 6'6", he got a long stride, and he's 250 pounds, so he's not easy to bring down. But I think he's done a good job of understanding more of the offense. And part of the reason why he's completing 78% of his passes is because he's been smart about checkdowns and taking, you know, a little swing passes and screen passes and higher percentage throws, even as opposed to trying to force that ball in there when it gets picked off or something like that. So I think he's done a good job of managing his throws, which is what Dan says, hey, you know, everybody loves that 70-yard touchdown pass. But, you know, I like a checkdown on third down and six, and he throws it and gets 8 yards. That's what I like, and he's done that better.
I know you got to go, but real question before we let one quick question before we let Mick Hubert go, the play-by-play voice for the Florida Gators. A local listener just texted us this with good reason. I think they'd like an update on Jonathan Grenard, who, of course, suffered a season-ending injury to his wrist on the first defensive series of the season in 2018. What about Jonathan for this for the Gators, and kind of what does it mean for, you know, wherever you can want to go with that, because they've got so much talent on this team. You know, it's I don't want to overstate you know what impact, but you tell me what your impression is.
You know, he's been really good. I think he's been hungry too, because losing that year and then a change of scenery coming, you know, to Florida, and you know, I think he's really excited about that, and he's healthy, so he's played well. He's got 7 tackles in the first 2 games and 2 sacks, so he's done a good job. This is the age of the transfer student,
yep.
And so, you know, last year we brought in Adam Schuler, a Florida kid who transferred in from West Virginia as a grad transfer, Schuler, who had 2 years to play. So Schuler is still back, and along with he and Grenard, those two transfers have done a really good job in that D-line. And then Jabari Zuniga, outstanding player at the other defensive end, he elected to come back for his 5th year as a redshirt senior. So along with Tyree Campbell, a 4th-year junior, they've got some experience, and that, it's been really good, that D-line. And Grenard has stepped right in there and has done a real fine job. I know he's a Georgia kid, but obviously has a little history, you know, playing against Kentucky. So he's been good, and I know he'd like to have a good game. More than anything else, I think he'd like to stay healthy for all the games this year.
No question. I know you got to go, Mick. Great to catch up with you again. We'll see you real soon. Take care.
Well, I'm glad it's going to be a little cooler up there.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, absolutely. You know the expression, out of the frying pan into the fire? So there you go.
And there you go.
That's what you're looking at.
Guys, thanks
right,
so much.
Take care.
See you, Mick. Thanks.
One of the good guys.
Oh,
yeah,
he's one of the best.
Texters remind me. That's a good point. Grenard, obviously, a kid who played here and lost his in that train wreck of a year last year. That was one of the ingredients. But I didn't want to make too much about it because they got so much talent on the defensive side. You know, you don't want to make it sound like, how about that Jonathan Grenard? But I mean, he was, you know, regarded as a very good player around here. And Right. I was curious what kind of impact he would say.
That's the thing Florida does. In back in the day, Ohio State, they used to joke about it. Woody would go through two or three fullbacks, right? Because it was, you know, 5 yards in a cloud of dust.
Right.
He'd go through the fullbacks. He'd pull a tackle or a guard and make him a fullback, and they'd run the same bag on play.
Yeah.
Florida's got talent like that across the board defensively. And I think this is going to be a terrific game. I really do.
I, without sounding like I'm, you know, damning with faint praise, I hope it is, because I feel bad for Sawyer Smith to make your debut in this game.
Oh,
I mean, you know, he says all the right things. I got a lot of confidence in my offensive line. Well, for your sake, son, I hope so, because, I mean, these guys are coming like trained, like runaway trains. And if – I don't care who you are. You could be Joe Montana and Johnny Unitas rolled into one. If you got no time to throw the ball back there, you're going to be for a long afternoon.
It's comparison to what you just said with basketball. And I had a friend that used to call it, he'd get one of those guys that got on a roll. He got hot. He made everything he threw up. Or a guy who was missing everything but kept on chucking and ducking, right? Chuck and duck. And we hope that Sawyer doesn't chuck a duck. Hope they give him some time. You know, he hasn't got bad feet. He's not a plotter now. He can run the ball a little bit.
Every time he opens his mouth, I'm impressed with the kid. He said, I came on here, signed up to be a backup. So, like, it wasn't like I was, you know, looking over his shoulder. But when you sign on to be the backup, you know you're one play away from getting put in there. And, you know, he said all the right things about his offensive line. He hasn't seen this kind of speed and talent, I don't think, very often at Troy.
Not very often.
But he's been in the game before, so you don't think he's going to go out there and just absolutely panic. So that's a good thing.
And his receivers are better this year. The receivers can help him out. And last year the receivers didn't consistently help out Terry Wilson. I think they've upgraded that receiver position, which can help Sawyer.
Well, we'll make our picks later. I'm still open-minded. I have to pick the Kentucky game. Mike has to pick the Louisville game. That's how we do it each week. By the way, by my record-keeping, you have surged ahead of me with a whopping 5-5. I'm 4-6. I've got back-to-back 2 and 3 weeks. So you are 5-5. You got me by one here early. But we both have to do better, so we will try.
And your boys, the Jets, did me in last weekend.
Well, they shouldn't have if they
– I know. That's what I'm saying.
I mean,
are you kidding me?
Think about this. Can you name me one other team – we both have a combined few years under our belts – when's the last time you heard the starting quarterback who's going to miss extended time because of mono? That is such a
Jet. At his age? Oh,
just
wow.
It's just a Jet thing to do. They're going to have one of their starting running backs miss because he's got to have his tonsils out. I mean, it's just – that's the kind of thing that only the Jets do. So
my daughter got mono when she was 12 or 13.
No, Darlene got it. You get it as an adult, but I don't know
not
why.
Not that often,
you
know, do you?
And adults – I mean,
got the generic version of it, which I don't know.
Generic version? Did you save money? Or?
It's the – they call it the sister strain. It's called like CMV or whatever. I don't know. But
I thought Honda made that.
It's the economy class of mono. I got it when I was 17.
Well, I mean, okay, this guy's, what, 23, 24?
Darlene got it when she was 22. I don't know if I buy that. I don't think mono's a kid's disease. It used to be called the kissing disease.
Well, all the kids are kissing.
Hey. Oh, I got it in high school, and believe me, there wasn't a whole lot of that going on. So
Nick was doing some kissy face, wasn't it?
No. I wish. It would have been a lot cooler if I was.
Hey, the man was the prom king, you know.
Was he really?
Yes.
I didn't vote for him.
And then spent – should we ruin it now for him or just let you bask in your glory?
No.
He spent the night – he and his date basically abandoned him as soon as they got to the prom.
Good.
And then he spent the night eating pretzels out of his crown.
All by myself. Everyone else having a – just sitting there. Yeah, everyone's having a good time.
Oh, man, that's brutal. Well, that is brutal.
He's a sweet soul.
That definitely epitomized my high school experience.
Yeah,
liked by all, loved by none.
You cannot play football with mono. No, I know. I wasn't suggesting that they're like it's some sort of a millennial baby
can't play,
thing.
You can't play,
any competitive sports with mono. I'm just saying, though, for some reason, you don't hear guys missing games. Only the Jets, a Jet got injured. Not that, like Nick said it himself, not that you'd feel better about it, but, you know, he turned an ankle, he sprained a knee. Okay, that's part of football.
He had something wrong with his hand.
Right, he sprained his thumb. He can't grip the ball properly. It happens. He was throwing a pass. He hit his hand on the guy's helmet. I've seen that happen. But the dude's got, and not only he's got mono, it's the kind of thing that he will be out for
Multiple weeks.
I mean, yeah.
They were saying 6 weeks.
Their whole season's going to go in the clapper because of mono. Sharing drink containers. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Yes, I understand. Issues with the spleen. Hey, get hit on the spleen. Oh, an in-show guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's booked a guest. So we got an in-show guest. Let's go to the press room and get the time and score of the guest booking. Who we got?
Fast Break Friday. In-show guest booking booked at 12:36 of the first hour. Toppers, play-by-play voice, Randy Lee will
Randy
join
Lee.
The program at 1:30. Following Tom Bleach.
What time do you want me to text Tom that we'll call it? 1:10?
Yeah, 1:10. Okay. Yeah. We're back-to-back play-by-play action. So that's all the play-by-play voices except the one Paul Rogers. So where the hell are you, Paul? Yeah, I mean,
time of the booking, 12:36.
Randy Lee.
Valvano.
Unassisted. Well, actually, no, that's not true. Assisted by one Pat Jaggers.
Pat Jaggers
with the assist, because I lost Randy Lee's number, so he passed that along to me.
Ice pulled that off.
Ice passed it to me.
Right, now I'm going to ask you one
Ice,
more time for that phone
Valvano
number.
Valvano from Ice.
I need those phone number.
What, the Papa John's?
No.
No, you can. Attaboy. Attaboy.
The Bocce number for the invite.
I know who you're talking about.
Fast Break Friday, presented by Universal Windows Direct. Mike Pratt, Bob Valvano, more to come, ESPN Radio.
Guys, you know it's easy to endorse something you believe in, but when it's your money, well, now we're getting serious, right? Luke Hancock here. That's why what I'm going to tell you right now is so important. When it came time for me to ask the love of my life to marry me, there was only one jeweler in Louisville I knew would truly care and treat me like family. Davis Jewelers. Funny thing, I think they're just as happy about me getting married as I am. But seriously, Hank and Ashley Davis created an incredible one-of-a-kind diamond engagement ring that sent my Kaylin over the moon. But seriously, talk is cheap. When it's your money, it becomes a whole nother matter. If it's your time to pop the question, it's about getting every penny's worth, isn't it? Guys, go see my jewelers, Davis Jewelers, Louisville's largest fine jeweler. If I did it, so can you.
Davis Jewelers, from anywhere in Kentuckiana. We're at Forest Green Boulevard, just off North Hurstbourne Parkway, and at davisjewelers.com.
Hey, it's Lachlan McClain reminding you to find new roads with Sternberg Chevrolet. You know the Sternberg name, a family-owned business that's been in this market for over 60 years. And now they have Sternberg Chevrolet at 6600 Dixie Highway. Unmatched service and diverse inventory that sets them apart from other dealers. They're also actively involved in creating a stronger community, partnering with local charities and nonprofits. Sternberg Chevrolet has service, detailing, parts, and more. SternbergChevrolet.com.
Bright Spring presents the 2019 UPS Plane Pole, Pulling for a Purpose, benefiting Special Olympics Kentucky. You're invited to join a team to compete pulling a Boeing 757 or be a spectator on September 21st at UPS Worldport. Enjoy food, music, giveaways, and stop by the College and Career Fair to learn about UPS's opportunities where future you graduates debt-free. For more information, text JOIN THE TEAM to 33588 or to apply now, visit upsjobs.com. That's upsjobs.com.
Like your phone, but not your service? With Spectrum Mobile, you can keep your current phone and upgrade your network. Simply pick the data plan that's right for you. Pay for the data you use, or choose unlimited for just $45 a month per line. All in. And talk and text are always free. Switching is easy. Go to spectrum.com/BYOD to learn more or to find a store near you. Spectrum Internet required. Restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Mike Pratt, here to tell you about Premier Packaging, a locally owned business that specializes in packaging, shipping, and logistics. Since 1984, Premier Packaging has taken a straightforward approach you can trust. With shipping costs on the rise, their team of professionals will work with you personally to minimize costs and increase your bottom line. From inbound, outbound, storing, and picking, Premier Packaging has solutions for your businesses, large or small. Visit Primpack.com and sign up for a free assessment. Premier Packaging. This approach makes a difference.
Hey, this is the Fat Jack, and with the ever-changing world of sports gambling, now is the best time to go to FatJackSports.com and get consistent winning selections this year at FatJackSports.com.
Hey, this is Mike Pratt, and do you know what sets a community bank apart from the rest? Friendly service, attention to detail, focus on making sure customers get what they need. At River City Bank, you will receive all of that and more. Be it a home improvement project, construction of a new home, or a bridge loan, their team is with you every step of the way. Visit any convenient River City Bank location or online at rivercitybankky.com. Hometown banking, hometown people, River City Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Hey guys, this is not another male enhancement commercial. I'm here to tell you where to get the most delicious wings in Louisville. I'm talking about Wing Zone. I'm talking about 17 amazing flavors delivered right to your door. Don't forget to ask about the ESPN Louisville special, wingzone.com. You got it.
Hey, Bobby V here. You've heard me talking about Vitality Wellness and weight loss for good reason. I've lost over 20, almost 30 pounds, actually, and it's all personalized and works just for you. It's not a one-size-fits-all diet, and they tailor their programs, their supplements, the minerals, to what your body needs. I like understanding how and why we're doing things, and that's what they explain to you at Vitality Wellness and Weight Loss. Give them a call. They're at 502-442-7180. Vitality Wellness and Weight Loss. Be healthier, thinner, happier, starting tomorrow at Vitality.
Hey, it's Yaya. You probably heard the Vavanos raving about Mill and Tony Italian restaurant. Well, they're raving about me. They're my family recipes. I run the joint. So please stop by Mill and Tony. We're located by I-64 right off the Hirshhorn exit. And man, have I been busy. We just opened our second location at 1008 Commerce Boulevard in Barstown, Kentucky. We have daily lunch specials for just $5.99, such as baked ziti and manicotti. Come see me at Mill and Tony. Okay, I gotta get back to cooking.
Do you suffer from peripheral neuropathy in the hands or feet, continual numbness, tingling or burning sensation, balance problems, decreasing the quality of your life? This is Mike Pratt, University of Kentucky Basketball Hall of Famer. I am here to talk to you about Dr. Anthony Sears, author of Your 21st Century Doctor. One issue that has long frustrated Dr. Sears, that many neuropathy sufferers are unaware of, is the potential dangerous side effects of the prescription drugs that they are using. They are unaware of recent studies that reveal the very drugs they're taking are actually making the condition worse. Dr. Sears' passion is showing patients how to reverse their neuropathy and live without the fear of the inevitable downward spirals created by the disease itself and the typical cocktail drug approach. To learn more, I invite you to his free seminar, Blueprint to Neuropathy. This seminar is free. Seating is limited. Call now to reserve your spot, 1-888-655-PAIN. Again, 1-888-655-PAIN.
Fast Break Friday is brought to you by Universal Windows. Schedule your free in-home estimate today, and for every window you buy, you get the next one free. Plus, 0% financing for 36 months and free installation. You'll be saying, I love my windows.
On Fast Break Friday, don't forget our celebrity Kentuckiana Friends of V fundraiser for cancer research on Monday at the Castle in Versailles. It's going to be epic, and we got such terrific celebrities, and very grateful to them and to Mike and for helping invite some of them. I've never met Jacob Tammy. Looking forward to having
really
him
nice
there.
Guy.
Chris
really
Redman will be there. He's an equally nice guy, and we got a lot of there's more Hall of Famers in this. We got Dan Issel's going to be there. Louis Dampier's going to be there. It's just going to be great, great fun. Flynn will be there. Doug Flynn. So we're going to have a good time. So it is, and that's the big thing. It's a bocce. Believe me, when you start playing, I know these guys. They're athletes. They're going to want. They're going to win. They're going to want to win. There's no question 100%. They get competitive, but. But it's fun. It's a social event. It's fun. And
how long does the event last? So for people who want to come watch,
it'll start about 1:00 and it'll be done about 3:30.
Okay.
The championship game. Now, everybody plays at least 3 games. If you lose your 3rd game, you're going home. So some of the people will be out of
the train. The train may leave early for
there's
some.
There's 2 trains. The first group, the first one you don't want to be on. But if you are, you'll be out there probably about 3:00. And if the last game will end about 3:30, and we got nice awards and. I'm really, really excited about this, so we should have some fun. I wanted to ask Mike about the national team not only gets beat against France, but then gets beat in a consolation game, which isn't surprising. We don't do consolation games in this country. They do them in Europe a little bit more than we do here, for better or worse. And there's a lot of hand-wringing and gnashing of teeth. But I'll tell you the truth. When I looked at the roster, if you looked at the way they lost to France, which was the first elimination game, the quarterfinal, they were Donovan Mitchell went out of his mind in the third quarter to give them the lead. But the fourth quarter, they only scored 13 points. And when I look at it, I say, well, why should we be shocked? That roster is made up of guys who don't take a lot of fourth quarter shots. The only two guys that probably do are Kemba Walker and Donovan. And Kemba was having a terrible game, and Donovan, for whatever reason, only got two shots off in the fourth quarter. The rest of the guys are really, really, really good role players. Am I wrong?
I think you're spot on. And they're used to doing things on the floor as role players. But it's still, it's hard to criticize Pop because his track record is impeccable. Okay.
Well, there was some Mike DeCourcy.
Oh, I know. I've read it. I've read it in why he didn't use timeouts, create situations, which they do in the NBA, to get Donovan Mitchell some shots. I don't know. You know, you'd have to talk to Pop about it. But
nobody's perfect. Guy who was making shots. You would think he'd go there.
Well, the other thing I think is kind of interesting about this, Bob, we talked off air about it. Jerry Colangelo, who's heads up the selection committee and everything that goes into putting this team together and the next Olympic team. He owned a piece of the Phoenix team. He coached. He was general manager. Was a player at Illinois back in the day. He is livid. I read some comments from him, and he said, look, the ones that said they weren't going to play from the start, he said, I'm okay. You know, I wish they would play, but I'm okay. They told me up front. But he said, look, those guys that backed out on us once they got there.
Really put a monkey wrench.
And he said, it really put us in a bind. He said, it really did. And he said, when it comes around, little touch of bitterness here. He said, when it comes around to the Olympic selection process next year, we will remember those who backed out on us.
If I'm him, I'm remembering Kemba Walker. I'm remembering Donovan Mitchell. Those guys were there. They played their hearts out. They said all the right things. They did all the right things. It should count for something. It absolutely should count for something. So, but you know what I found interesting? You've actually made this point, so I'm going to let you elaborate on it. I understand, and like Colangelo did, the guys who said up front, look, the next year's the Olympics. I'll be playing year-round 2 years in a row if I play in this. I don't want to do that. I can understand that. They're playing 100 games in the NBA, for goodness sake, if you make the playoffs, exhibition games. But the second-tier guys, you know, the guys that like the Damian Lillards and – how did they think it was okay? You talked about some young players.
I was disappointed. De'Aaron Fox, really was playing well.
Exactly.
He and Donovan Mitchell were the stars of the build-up to the games, and then De'Aaron backed out. And you know, he's such a nice kid. I always enjoyed sparkle in his eye, converse with you. A very happy kid.
Right.
And I was really disappointed because he had a chance, I think. Now, he's out in Sacramento on Pacific Coast time. Everybody knows a guy can play. Okay, he's on everybody's radar internally in the NBA. But this type of exposure for him and Donovan Mitchell on that kind of platform, I thought would have really jump-started. Not jump-start, but really had escalate what they've done. You know, yes.
All-star teams, all-league teams, all those things, they come about because of things like this, the
and
perception
your
changes.
And your value to your franchise increases. But he wasn't the only one. They had a lot of guys that had decided that down the stretch they didn't want to play. But Colangelo, not happy, Bob. And it'll be interesting a year from now when we get ready to revisit the Olympic run. How many of these guys, we'll get a list of the guys that pulled out down the stretch and the guys that said, look, I can't play this year for the reasons you said. He probably got a commitment.
I'll play next year, right?
Yeah, they probably got a commitment from these guys to be invited. I would say Colangelo did. Who turned them down to start with? So that's a little internal battle. Will they ever? The question to you is this: I mean, everybody's happy with the NBA people. That's all cool. Would you think they'll ever go back to getting more than one college guy? Leitner was the last college guy, right?
I wouldn't go back to that for a lot of reasons. One, having coached in Europe for the short time I did, it's a slap in the face to those athletes. It's like, we're so good, we don't have to send our best. Send your best, and if you beat them by 30, how do you get better? You know that as an athlete. If a guy comes and just spanks you every day in practice, you say, damn, I got to get better. You know, you owe that to them. I don't have a problem with that, number one. Number two, Kobe said it, and I think he's right. He said the days of the Dream Team in 92 are gone. He said that's – I mean, you look at the people they've got out there. I mean, what's his name? Who's the kid for the French – the big kid on France who was the defensive player of the year in the NBA?
Oh, Gobert?
Gobert. I mean, you know, he's a bona fide all-pro. I mean, this is who you're playing against now. It's not like it was in the old days. Now, they'll play Poland in the seventh-place game. I'd be shocked if they don't beat Poland. I mean, but the other teams – you know, they may not have as many, but their first five guys are generally a lot of NBA guys. And Franny said this on the show the other day. Some of them are not in the NBA. It doesn't mean they couldn't be in
the
NBA.
They're making too much
money.
They're
making $2 and $3 million living in their native homeland. Why? They don't want to come over here, uproot their family, so they stay there. The money in Europe has escalated to the point where some really good players are still playing there. And so, and you made the other point, which you didn't bring up that time. The agents have more say now. I mean, my guess is De'Aaron Fox, when you're that young, you probably want to play all the time. I'll play this year. I'll play next year.
That's typical.
Yeah. But, you know, the agents don't understand this is not, you know, good for our brand, and so they stay home. I mean, you know, that's
– the other thing that – and I threw the college kids back in at you because we see this happening. The next contract, player's contract with the union and the owners, they're probably going to do away with the one and done, which – I mean, I think the NBA is making a mistake because players build the brand 1 year in college. I see that. But then again, if a kid wants to go, if that's what he wants and his people want, then it's hard to say you can't work that out. But your college players, the ones that you would want on your Olympic team or this FIBA team, are already in the NBA. Okay, they're already in the NBA. And so it might be hard
That's
to put
true.
Together a college
That's true.
After the next contract with the NBA and the owners. So what you see is what you get, and guys have to be committed to playing. And it might just be that we'll see the best only at Olympics.
That's probably, I think.
Or they move that FIBA deal back. I mean, they moved it up to where it's –
Well, yeah.
It used to be a couple of years before the Olympics.
They didn't want to go up against the Soccer World Cup. Is that the reason?
I think that was it, yes.
That's what it was. I hope we get excited about it. The problem is, as you know, the perception was that it was always so easy for us to win. There was no drama. But I think, you know, it would be good for all of us if everybody understood it's not going to be that easy anymore. Because, you know, we get so excited if our World Cup soccer team could even make the – you know, the round of the knockout stage, because we don't expect that. But basketball, we act like if we win, ho-hum, why not? Kobe came out today and said, those days are gone, man. I mean,
and then you get upset when you don't win. Yeah, those days are gone. I mean, come on. It's going to be interesting basketball come Olympic time. I hope that we get a steady diet of these games on television.
Me too. I think it's very entertaining. And it's also entertaining because it makes our NBA players play a way that they're not used to playing. There's no defensive 3 second. It's only five fouls and you're out. They play 40 minutes. It's an interesting
wider lane.
So, you know, you got a very interesting, different scenario. That was one of the things they said they thought really bothered the players at the end of the France game. They just packed the lane, and there was no room for guys to get in there and penetrate and kick and nowhere to go. And then Kemba wasn't making anything. And
Donovan wasn't getting the ball. So there's your two shooters. And that's the one thing I liked about the Euro teams, Bob, that I've seen for years, and you too. They lacked the really skilled big men for many years. But, man, they could shoot. They could always shoot.
They always could.
You saw some performance. I did. I remember performances by Olympic teams from Europe where you go like, where?
Oscar Schmidt.
Oscar Schmidt. Yeah. Yeah. Like, well, how about the kid that got killed in a car accident that played with New Jersey?
Drazen Petrovic.
Oh, could he shoot the ball? Yeah. Oh, man, we used to play them when I was with the original Hornets. And this guy, he got it out. He got it out so quick. He got that ball out so quick.
They've influenced the game tremendously. There's no question.
More so than they get credit.
Oh, they definitely changed the way we play here, and that was a European influence. There's no doubt about that. I mean, I remember hearing Krzyzewski speak at a clinic once when he came back, and he was so excited because he'd never seen a game played like that. It was his first real experience in international basketball, you know. And it's true. Back then, now we think nothing of it. But if you took a video of today and plopped it into the middle of the 1970s or early 80s, and guys are driving and turning, throwing the ball directly behind them. And guys are taking the ball and driving from the left wing. And they're 8 feet away, and they jump up in the air, and they throw it to a guy who's 26 feet away on the other side. We'd say, what are you, crazy? What are you doing?
Why are you giving up that close shot for the 3-point?
You're 7 feet away, and now you're throwing it away. But you know what? Throw it to people who are open, and they, you know, everybody can shoot it over there. You don't play. I mean, my center, when I coached in Sweden, and I wasn't used to this. You got to remember how long ago I was there.
at first, it took me a long time to get comfortable with the fact he was probably one of my better corner three-point shooters. We actually had to run plays for him to get threes off in the corner, because why wouldn't you take advantage of that? But, you know, if you did that here, and what are you doing with your center in the corner? You know, what is he doing out there? But that's how they all play.
Never take the big man away from the basket,
doing,
right?
Yeah. You don't know what you're doing.
But go back to that three-pointer, and you're so spot on. The ABA, that's where it started. That's where it grew. Nothing for a long time rivaled how the three-point shot was used in the ABA.
Yeah.
It was, you know, I mean, it took college and the NBA, well, NBA first, took them a while. They picked it up. College, it took them a while. I mean, Pitino was
Denny
one of the
Crum
leaders.
Had teams that when the end of the year, his total of three-point shots as a team is less than the leading individual three-point shooter will have taken now. I mean, guys of his ilk, I think he'd be first to admit it, looked at the three as a late-game desperation kind of catch-up thing. And obviously people found out otherwise.
Well, back, you know, the ABA, they'd shoot that three in transition in a heartbeat. We would shoot that thing, no big deal. Push it, see what you got. But what the Euro players did one step further. They used all that, but they did the one thing you just talked about. They would take a 7-footer and make it into a 24-footer and drain the damn thing.
And they jump up just in the air and throw the ball behind them, and people are like, what are they doing? I'll tell you, this is going to sound crazy to you, but I swear it's true as we get ready to go to break. One of the reasons that I really fell in love with basketball is your friend, Louis Dampier, and that stupid red, white, and blue ball. Because when those guys, if you went and sat in the seats that you can afford when you're a little kid, a young kid, I wasn't a little kid, but I, you know, old enough to go on my own, but I was still like a junior high school kid, you're buying the seats that are way upstairs. It's $5 to get in at the Nassau Coliseum, and him and Daryl Carrier. And
what
Billy,
a combination.
Billy Keller.
Yep.
And
Freddie
John
Lewis.
Roach and Freddie Lewis. And when those guys would let that ball go and way up in the seats and you'd watch that rotation, it was a thing of beauty. It was absolutely gorgeous. You said to yourself, well, you know what? I can't dunk like Dr. J.
But I can shoot
it. I might be able to shoot it a little bit. So you'd want to go home and take about 10,000 shots because that was a thing of beauty. It was perfect arc and the spin on it. And
back in those days,
man.
Your coach, your dad, everybody else, you're too far out. Don't take that shot.
Yeah, well,
and you go, well,
I just saw Louie do that. Little Louie did that. Yeah, he was a little bit.
Remember Glenn Combs?
Sure.
Oh, well, he could shoot it too.
Yeah, well, Bobby Verga.
Bobby, yeah. Oh, that ball behind his head.
Jerry Laverne Jelly Tart. He could score some. He was a strong son of a gun, too.
Yeah, he was. He was. He was more of a strong power
player.
Yeah,
he was not much of a – but he could shoot at some. He would shoot some. You know who else had the prettiest shot that never went in ever? Ollie Taylor.
With the fro?
The giant fro, played for the Nets. He would release it, and it would have the most beautiful spin. And I'll never forget, my brother Jim said that to me once. He said, you know, Ollie's got a gorgeous shot. There's just one problem. He never makes it. We'll come back. It's Fast Break Friday. Thanks for being with us here on ESPN Radio.
We had a guy appear.
UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination online at bluegrasskarting.com.